I feel drawn once again to preach about Philippians, Paul's great letter that we dipped into a little bit last week. Once again, Paul's letter to the Philippians is one of the shortest of Paul's letters, and it's also, I think, just the best starting place to get to know Paul, not only because it's short, but also because it's got a great warmth to it and is filled with sort of all-time quotes and passages. And today's passage is no exception. Again, it's a letter Paul writes from prison, and it's a love letter, really, to a community that has stood by Paul and has been very faithful to him. You may know, if you can catch the tone of some of the other letters, that he gets very angry sometimes and come on, guys, do it right kind of thing. Philippians, he's much more encouraging and affectionate. So it's a wonderful way to enter into the world of Paul, which is a deep, rich, dark world. I highly commend to everybody. In today's passage, Paul is really talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I want to walk through what some of those fruits of the Spirit are, the reason that you become a Christian and what you can expect as you grow in depth in your relationship with Jesus and with your community of faith. But first, I think it's worth rehearsing some of the things that are hard about being a Christian. One, as I think each of you know, is that it does require sacrifice. If you're praying, that means that you're setting aside time that you could otherwise be doing something else. If you're worshiping, same thing. And particularly on a day like this, when you have to drive through the rain to get here. If you're serving the poor, not only does that require setting aside time, but very often it means that you're put into some uncomfortable places as you recognize somebody else's poverty and their pain and suffering and enter into that with them. So it's costly to be a Christian. And of course, here we are in stewardship time where we're asking you to give of your precious treasure to help make all of this happen. So there is sacrifice involved in being a Christian. The second is that I absolutely believe, along with Rowan Williams, I quote him on this often, that becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you're put in a secure bubble apart from the world. It means just the opposite, that we are called to have more exposed nerves, not less. So even the pain that's out there in the world, as you become a Christian, you become more alert to it the deeper you go into it. And that can be, ouch, painful on multiple levels. The third is that, and I believe, as you well know, that this is only increasing, that as you become a Christian in this world, in this age, in this time, in this culture, that you become more and more eccentric, that there are fewer and fewer, there's less of an echo chamber around us culturally as being Christians. And that's hard. So those are all some of the tough things. There are more, but I think I'm going to stop there, because really my point is to encourage you, because there is wonderful fruit of the Spirit. And in today's passage, in a very succinct way, Paul hits a whole number of them very powerfully. I'm actually going to hit each one of the verses of our short passage from Philippians. First of all, I'm going to hit, where are we? Here we go. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Now that's the thing. It's costly, but it's not hard. It doesn't produce people with hard hearts. It produces people with soft hearts, with gentleness, with kindness. That all of those things I just described don't make, if we are truly in Christ, hard-hearted people. Just the opposite. People of compassion. What a beautiful way to be in the world. But that's a fruit of the Spirit. When you walk this way, there are those costs, but then there's that beautiful gentleness that so many of you manifest on a regular basis, and I think St. Paul's as a whole does, at its best. And we're at our best pretty often, I would say. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do not worry. Ultimately, each of us, our life is hid in Christ. When we take that bread and that wine, there is something that goes from us to be with God, and we go out into the world, and it's safe there. It's like a safety deposit box. We are with Christ. We do not need to worry. Of course we worry up here at that certain level where everybody worries, and it's like a disease that we catch all the time. But as Christians, one of the fruits of the Spirit is that we have a corner of our souls, of our hearts, of our minds, of our imaginations that is hid in Christ. And so somewhere, even though it can be sometimes hard to find that place, we can know, we can trust that that place is hid in Christ. And in an ultimate sense, we do not need to worry. Paul's words then are still relevant to us now. And finally, there's this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Does that sound familiar? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in knowledge and the love of God. I will tell you that among the top 10 most significant moments in my life was a moment that I'm going to try to describe to you, but it had everything to do with the context. In my early 20s, I was exploring the life of the church and was becoming quite engaged with St. Mark's Episcopal Cathedral in Seattle, which is, ended up being the place that sponsored me for ordination. And one of the priests at the time, a canon, was a man by the name of John Houston. He was the canon for pastoral care. And he was just one of the loveliest men I ever knew. His father had been the bishop of the Diocese of Olympia. And John was one of these guys who just had the whole Anglican thing soaked in him. But he was an organizational disaster. I don't think he ever showed up for a meeting on time. And he kept losing his things. The only thing he never lost was his silver coffee cup, which he had with him all the time. But he would say the most endearing things constantly, like, "I have the greatest voice in Christendom, if only I could keep a tune." And it was true. I mean, when he would sing the Sorsum Corda, it would just go all over the place. And yet there was something really beautiful and wonderful about his voice. On a particular Sunday, so that's John. Now me, in my early 20s, you need to know that something that I struggled with throughout high school and college in particular, and even into my early 20s, was just a sort of pervasive sense of anxiety. It just was always with me, would make me be almost jittery sometimes. And so on a particular Sunday, John was the celebrant, and I don't know what it was, but I really got caught up in John's voice and in John's presence. And I'll never forget the moment at the end of the service when John said, "The peace of God which passes all understanding." And just right there, I could feel something in my heart and in my entire soul that just went click. Oh, I get it. This isn't something I need to understand. It's just something that I embrace and that I say yes to. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding. I can't worry it. I can't wrap my mind around it. I only simply say yes. That's a fruit of faith. That's a fruit of the Spirit. So you see, Paul describes quite beautifully what the fruit of the Spirit of the Christian life is like. Gentleness, no worry, a peace that passes all understanding. To conclude, I want to flip up to the first verse that Mike read earlier, which is this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." There's a tune that runs through my head whenever I hear that. Do you know that? "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Great old tune. But it's like prayer, right? Paul also says, "Pray without ceasing." Rejoice and prayer are to be two constant notes in our lives. We're invited to be in it always. Like prayer, rejoicing is one of those fruits of the Spirit that we can receive and that make for great preparation for that place where we're all, by God's grace, headed, heaven. Amen.